Hello, I'm the Barrister Stephen Barrett, and I am increasingly asked about how we go about recalling an MP. Now, as a lawyer, the first thing I should tell you is that the immediate port of call is the Recall of MPs Act 2015. As a constitutionalist, I'd like to tell you that the Recall of MPs Act 2015 is a mistake. And it's a mistake we've been repeating in this country for year after year after year. And it's why so many of you who are not lawyers have become so dependent on lawyers, which is, by the way, very bad because lots of lawyers are not trustworthy. They are not decent people. And I don't want you dependent on us. I think you should be. I see you as my fellow voter and my fellow citizen, and I see us as equals. And I think that's a good and healthy relationship. I have no desire to be elevated above you. And when I'm doing law, I always say that I'm the servant. That's my job. I'm compensated for it, which is only fair. But that's the relationship. That I'm not your master, and I never should be. And one of the things the Recall of MPs Act does is turns all of this into a legal process, which fundamentally disempowers you. Really, getting rid of an MP should go, constitutionally, should just go like this. The MP does something outrageous. The press notice. The public notice. The public are very, very angry. The public make their views clear. The press realise they will sell more papers by reflecting the views of the people. It's a very important relationship that we've sort of broken with things like The Guardian, where it's not obvious that they're actually reliant on public funding, or the BBC, which obviously isn't reliant on public funding, so therefore can largely ignore the public or treat the public as though they're not important. It's a very important constitutional relationship we have, but ideally, in a functioning state, that's what we'd have, and then the Speaker of the House of Commons would recognise the feeling in the country. And it would be necessary, and the party leader would feel necessary to remove the whip, and processes would effectively force the MP out. That is what we call a political constitution, which is what we used to have before EU membership, and what we drastically need to get back. But to do that, I need to empower you, and that's largely what these videos are for. I need you to feel bolder, more in control of your country, because it is your country. Now, of course, lots of people are asking, particularly because of Tulip Siddiq. And again, I think Tulip Siddiq has behaved absolutely appallingly and needs to go. I'm sad to say that, on the face of it, under the Recall of MPs Act 2015, Tulip Siddiq might not have to go. And the reason for that I will explain in this video. So, the 2015 Act creates what's called three conditions by which a recall petition can be triggered. We'll get onto a recall petition and what it is later. But the first thing you need to do is satisfy one of these three conditions. Now, the first condition is that the MP needs to be convicted of an offence and receive a custodial sentence that isn't overturned on appeal. And the reason that that doesn't apply to Tulip Siddiq is that it has to be convicted in the UK. It can't be convicted abroad. Now, if you want to defend this Act of Parliament, as I said, I would just get rid of it and restore the political constitution. But if you want to defend it, you'd say, well, that's so that a corrupt foreign regime doesn't just find our MPs guilty of things and then, at inconvenient times, and then they have to go. And I would say the solution to that is to restore the political constitution, because if an enemy regime, and I'm not going to name a regime, but we all know which countries we're not currently friendly with, if one of them were to do this, you, the public, have more common sense than to start getting angry about that and to demanding the removal of the MP. In fact, you're very likely to side with the MP as the victim. In that scenario, one of the many reasons I prefer the political constitution is that the ordinary people actually have quite a lot of common sense, and it's very, very difficult to write laws that have common sense. And that's what you've got to here, because actually Tulip Siddiq has been convicted by a court that is pretty respectable, not by an enemy state. Bangladesh holds no hostility towards us. It does look to me that what she got up to was absolutely indefensible. But in order to prevent another evil outcome, our laws end up badly written so that they don't apply to her. Now, there's another thing I'd like to flag up about this, the first condition. It's that for some reason they've drafted it that the judges have to tell the Speaker of the House of Commons. Now, I don't understand why you would add that in. at any level. But it opens that up to abuse by a political judge who just conveniently forgets, oh dear, I forgot to report so-and-so, but oh dear, how terrible. Why would you give this effectively a power to judges? It's really odd to me in the drafting. Again, I think people just need to stop trying to use law to achieve all sorts of ends that law can't achieve. And we're going to get on to the fact that law may, in fact, be quite sinister and being used in a sinister way. The second condition is that, following on from a report of the House of Commons Committee on Standards, there is an order to suspend the MP from this House for either 10 sitting days, or, if it's not 10 sitting days, at least 14 days. Now, that's good and hopeful, because the Committee on Standards, which frankly acted like a kangaroo court over Boris, can do something about Tulip Sadiq. And so this is a good opportunity to write to your MP and to try and start using diplomatic, democratic pressure, lobbying on Facebook, organising with your friends, showing your outrage to try and get the House of Commons to do something. I am doing that. I am sending ostensibly rude tweets to the Speaker of the House of Commons, because I owe him no deference, and I personally have no respect for him. I think he's a disgrace to his office. But he's doing nothing. Maybe if we start pressuring them, they will actually do something, and the Committee on Standards will consider Tulip's behaviour, and the Committee on Standards can then punish her in such a way that a recall petition will be triggered on the second condition. Now, I have to warn you about the Committee on Standards. Yes, it behaved appallingly over Boris Johnson. Whatever you think of him, he did not get a fair hearing, and that is a disgrace. I would give the devil the benefit of justice and a fair hearing and the rule of law, and that is a position I would urge you to take. The House is very inconsistent in the length of punishment it gives. There's a brilliant journalist called Tom Harwood. He's got a spreadsheet about how desperately inconsistent they are. But I would hope that if we get enough public attention and pressure on this, that the House would actually have to man up and do something. The third condition is very, very specific. It's that the MP is convicted under Section 10 of the Parliamentary Standards Act. That's a very specific offence. It's providing false information, misleading information for allowances claims. It's largely a relic from the expenses scandal. But, I mean, we're probably going to have another expenses scandal. I always say anything you're not actively fighting becomes a problem. If you hear whining in the background, that's my puppy who is just being emotional. Right, those are the conditions to trigger a petition. Once a petition is triggered, the Speaker has to notify the petition officer, and effectively, we then have a six-week period in which we need the voters in that constituency to say, yes, please, recall this MP. Okay, and 6 weeks is quite a long time, and to justify this act, maybe if you think I'm being a bit harsh on it, it's relatively generous. It says at least 10% of registered parliamentary electors. So that's a pretty low bar. 10%. But I think that's entirely appropriate. If that recall petition is met, then the seat immediately becomes vacant and a referendum is called. All of this is cancelled if there's a general election. Okay, so just be conscious of that. I don't want to mislead you or anything else, but that referendum, the MP in particular, if their party supports them, can stand. If they want to stand as an independent, they can stand, and then democracy takes its place. And I don't mind that, because, again, I am in favour of the political constitution. But this is the way, using the 2015 Act, that you can recall an MP. In the specific case of Tulip Sadiq, I recommend pursuing the second condition and putting political pressure on your representatives to make the Committee on Standards in the House of Commons do its job. Thank you.